Reading from Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7, Philippians. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We sure like to have peace, don't we? I think it's preferred to the alternative would be war. We don't want war. We do like peace. And that's just speaking of in the world we live. But the peace of God that passeth all understanding, it really does pass our ability to understand, because it's when the Lord saves you, that peace of God enters your life. And people sometimes have to be reintroduced to themselves because they're not the same person. They are, but they aren't. And they have had a change expression, a change of heart that is not just a one-time splash in the water, but it's something that's real, that's good for a very, very long time until the day we depart this old world to see Jesus. Thinking about these couple few scriptures here we're going to look at tonight, and it's referencing to a good report. We'd like a good report. That verse is just a good report for sure. The peace of God passing all understanding. And it's a keeping power as well. But I was wondering, our daily reports sometimes come in paper. Well, you probably don't get them in paper anymore, do you? But anyway, paper. This is called a newspaper. You remember them, some of us that are of the advanced age group? I used to deliver newspapers. By the way, if you're thinking about doing that, there's no money in it, believe me. But a newspaper, they were really good. You didn't get the newspaper. Sometimes you get the newspaper late in the afternoon, and then, you know, that you could go through it and, I guess, look it over. But I went through this. This is just part of a paper I bought the other day. I haven't bought a paper in a long time. And I just went through kind of casually. I was looking for a bad report. Where's the bad reports? Actually, that was easy to find. I found about, I think, 7 of them or so just in this little newspaper here. And realized that's kind of like a diet for my soul in a way. If I feed myself every day on a bad diet of this stuff, I don't know. It doesn't sound like it would be a great idea. So we'll just put that aside. This Bible is the opposite of that. It's a good report. Now, the uniqueness of the Bible is it tells both sides of the story. You can read bad situations in people's lives and how it didn't go well for them. So that's the truth. It's the truth. When you take on an evil life, you can expect something, an evil outcome. You put in something evil, you get out something evil. But when you put something in good to your life, to your soul, something good, you can come out with a good result, a blessing to your soul and to the people around you. I appreciate seeing young people in church, because I was young once and I went to church. But I went to church way back when I was very, very young. And I remember my dad telling me that there's other advantages in going to church. I don't remember all what he said. It's been a while. But one of them was we would sit up in the balcony, not here, back in New York, sit up in the balcony, and I would tie my shoes. And then I would untie my shoes. And then I would tie my shoes. And I would untie my shoes. That's what I did in the balcony. So going to church as a young child is good for you. You may learn how to tie your shoes. And in fact, today I tied my shoes twice. Once this morning and then once before church tonight. So you see, there is side benefits to going to church. That's just going to church. You get the idea. There's blessings in the gospel. There really are. Where else would you meet this many people in one place? And actually know a lot of them. Amazing, might have forgotten some names. But basically, we know these people. We see their face. We know these people. We can kid them a little bit. I told a kid in the hallway out here before we came up here a few minutes ago. He's got lots of hair on his head. I says, you know, I used to have hair on my head like that. And then I told him, I says, you've got a lot to look forward to. But maybe not. Maybe he's got different family members, and maybe they have hair that continues on for a while. Some of us, it just didn't work that way. And yet, I can still have the peace of God. You can still have the peace of God, whether everything is beautiful or everything is not so beautiful. Whether you're beautiful or whatever. You know, we can have that peace of God. That's something that is so unique to the gospel. This is where it comes from. Jesus paid it all. We sing that song. Okay, part two. The peace of God is something you receive. It's something that you have to be willing to accept the will of God for your life. You have to be willing to surrender your position. We heard the sister testify. She had to surrender her position. Hey, that's not unusual, really. You got to surrender something sometimes to receive something better. And this is far better than what we surrender. Because the Lord makes such a transforming work in our lives that you look back a while and you can hardly believe what the Lord has done for you. It's just a miracle. And over years and years and years of miracles and blessings and encouragements. That's another thing I thought about the newspaper. If you could get encouragement from that, maybe it'd be okay. But I can't think of anything there that would encourage me, you know? People can encourage people. Did you know that? If you smile at me, I would be encouraged. Okay, come on. I can't see that far away anyhow. That's okay. And it will keep your hearts and your minds. Not everything in life is a keeper, but the gospel is a keeper. And this one verse we read, it'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is a keeper. It'll hold you close, and you can be as close as you want to be. You can move in and accept what the Lord has for you and draw the Lord close to you. You know, it's like we have a barrier up against ourselves sometimes, or a barrier around us, and it's like you have to lower that barrier to let the Lord work on you. Otherwise, you know, I already know it all, so, you know, you keep that barrier up. But if you admit the fact you don't know it all, and you just lay it down and say, Lord, work on me. Make the changes that need to be changed. Put that in my life that will be a blessing to me and everybody I know. Because this is the unique thing about the gospel. It's shareable. Not everything is like that. You can't share your checking account with everybody, can you? But you can share the gospel with everybody and anyone that will even get close. Sometimes we share the gospel in different ways. We don't necessarily preach to all people, but we associate with neighbors and people around about us, and we just are friends to these people. And surprisingly, they probably look at us a little funny sometimes. They wonder why we go to church so much. That's fine. People go to a lot of things a lot of times. I'm always amazed to think about people that pay to go to watch people play baseball. Why would you pay to go watch people play baseball? I'd rather go somewhere where I could play baseball, wouldn't you? Where you can have a good time throwing the ball around or hitting the ball or something. In high school, I don't remember anybody paying to go watch the guys play baseball. You remember that? I don't know, maybe they sold popcorn or something there, but that's the extent of it. But you could enjoy just everyday stuff like that, because God puts everyday stuff in every heart and life. And we have preferences. Some people love things that you hate, or vice versa. You read on in this particular chapter 4, verse 8. it says finally, and we can't go into all of these, but it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report. You see, it gets to that good. I think they're all good report. They're all a good report. It just matches that. A true report is a report. That's a good report, a true report. If you go through the scriptures, you'll find out there's about 30 places where the word report, you'll find the word report. But attached to report, you'll also find something else. About five different ones that I found, plus some of these that I just read. There's an evil report. There's a false report. There's a true report and an honest report, like is in this particular text. But then there's that good report. Don't we like a good report? I think we do. I think we like and appreciate a good report more than we realize, because we definitely don't like a bad report. That's something you don't want. You don't want any kind of bad report on anything. But worse than that is an evil report. Think of it. If we had an evil report that we took to heart and we just took it on, and it's so bad, and the world is just an awful shape, you know, it's so evil and so forth. So what it is, but that we don't need to work on that too much. It works all by itself, being evil. It does not need my contribution. If I can contribute something along a good report part, that we can do, and we can fight the good fight of faith with others who fight the good fight of faith, because they have found something special, something unique, something that transformed the life they were living. In the military training, one lesson, and I don't know, all particular services have this particular lesson. It's about a 3-hour class called Rumors and Propaganda. And something about that class kind of brought the idea along that there's rumors out there. There's rumors in the military that persuade you that something is true when it's actually not true. It's just a rumor. Propaganda promotes false things. And if they can keep promoting something that is not the truth long enough, people will believe it's the truth. You'll be convinced after a while. Oh, there's no enemy out there. Don't worry about that. Comes to find out there was an enemy in the woods waiting for you. Well, isn't that true in the gospel? People come up with some fantastic, great idea to promote that, and come to find out there was nothing to it. This is your verifiable book. Go to the Word of God, and go to godly people that you know. They will help you digest it. They will help you understand it. The Spirit of God can talk to your heart as easy as anybody else's heart. You can be one of those people that hears the word of the Lord and believes it is the word of the Lord, and it nourishes your soul. That's what we really want. In the Old Testament, there's one text we sometimes preachers go to, because it's easy to find information for preachers, you know. We don't want to get too complicated. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, verse 32, is referring to the fact that there was two sides to something here. There was the group of spies, remember, 12 spies? And the majority won, but it didn't help anything. There was the "we are well able" group, and then there's the "we be not able" group, okay? And the "we be not able" group won out. It was 10 of them against the two other spies. You remember Joshua and Caleb especially. But in verse 32, it kind of details it a little more. It says, "And they brought up an evil report." Get that? Evil report. "Of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants." Must be a hungry land. It's eateth up the inhabitants. And that's something thereof. "And all the people that we saw in it," mind you, all the people. It says, "all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." You believe they were? Maybe they were. Maybe they weren't. Then they go on in verse 33, says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. It's getting bigger every minute, isn't it? Which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, this is a definition of exaggeration, okay? It's a perfect definition. When they looked at us, we looked like grasshoppers. You know how big a grasshopper is? I looked it up. I don't know if there's different kinds of grasshoppers. I suppose there are. Something like about a half an inch up to about 2 3/4 inches. It's a giant grasshopper, isn't it? And we looked like we were a grasshopper. But we thought of ourselves in the same way. It says, so we were in their sight, but we were in our sight as well. We were considering ourselves as grasshoppers, the size of a grasshopper, a long, almost 3-inch long grasshopper compared to this giant, like Goliath, maybe over 9 feet tall. Oh, we are humiliated. We might as well go back home and tell Moses, lost cause. Joshua and Caleb didn't say it was a lost cause, but the other 10 sides said it was a lost cause. Was that a rumor and propaganda for absolute for sure? They were completely off the target, and it cost them 40 years wandering throughout the wilderness. Doesn't sound like a great plan. You know, evil's like that. Evil captivates things sometimes, and it takes it farther and farther and farther than you can possibly imagine. You have no clue as to how far it will take you. But the old devil is that way. He just passes on this exaggerated report about how wonderful this life of sin is going to be, and you take the bait, and before you know it, there you are, lost in sin. It's no life. That's no life that anybody really would truthfully volunteer for, and yet we do. And we did. Thank the Lord he had a turning point, and we could turn to God at another point in our life. Thank God for that. The Lord is very, very kind. Back to our scripture in Philippians, last part of that particular text speaks of virtue. If there be any virtue, if there is any virtue, what is that? A force. It's a force. Virtue is a force. Or it's a strength of mind or body. It is. It's powerful. These scriptures are powerful. They're like that force. Strengthens your mind. Gives you a clear mind. Gives you a sound mind. Isn't that wonderful? Some people do not have a sound mind because they've been so deceived and so led astray. But a sound mind comes from God. God provides an ability that it clear up our way of thinking. You don't think the same way after you're saved than prior to being saved. The Lord brings an incredible victory in that area. Beyond that point, it says that in the last part of that verse, or rather in verse 9, those things which ye have both. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't know this at the beginning. He knew it later in life, remember? He was converted and his whole life changed. And he was able to document information like this for the people of the Philippians. And the people heard what he had to say. So he can refer to himself, actually. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. He says, okay, take a look at me. Has it changed my life? I guess they'd have to say it had. He says, you look at those things and the references that he'd already given in this particular text, and he says, do those things. Do what the Lord has guided you to do. Follow this life. Follow this godly life. And this is what it will give you. And the God of peace shall be with you. You see, you're not alone. Some people say they're alone, and that's sad. But you're not alone with the Lord. The God of peace shall be with you. Follow this formula. Follow it. It's not difficult. You just surrender your life to the Lord and let him lead you along. Don't make it complicated. I think sometimes That's what potential preachers do. They make it so complicated. They think everybody's looking at me because I'm a preacher. That's crazy. I know. We found out after a while that the number one fear of mankind is speaking in public. I'm glad I didn't know that. Can you imagine? It's bad enough when you know it. But put it aside. Don't you think God can handle the number one fear? And give people courage to say, you know, God can do it in my life. He did it in that other guy's life. He was just a farmer. And the Lord talked to his heart and changed his life, moved him around the country, helped him find a wife, all those things. God does those things. Those things are real. You see, testimony time is about what, 2 minutes? You can't tell it all. But the fact is, behind every one of these testimonies, it's a pretty long story of the same sort of thing that you've gone through. Similarly, the Lord is good. We're going to sing a song tonight, 605. It'd be fun to have a quartet, wouldn't it? A quartet that sings, "Come Unto Jesus, Come Unto Jesus." It's a good song, Dallas Holmes song. Remember that? "Come Unto Jesus, He'll make a way." And that we know is true. We're going to stand and sing, though, from 605 and have a time with the Lord as we bow down before Him and pray and throw away our newspapers.